It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock hour. We've been talking today about stocks being at these all-time highs. Dow over 22,000. But something doesn't just feel right. Something doesn't feel just right. And that's the, there's just this angst in the air still. All-time highs, market, but there's really kind of an all-time high in skepticism because the economy, this 39-mile-per-hour economy that we're in, doesn't quite match up to this gangbuster stock market that we're in. Now, from a perspective of, yes, we've continued to hit all-time highs. And from that perspective, if you take a look at where we stand today, and Dow is, for the week, the Dow was actually up again another 1.2%. The S&P was relatively flat on the week, up only 0.19 of a percent, about 10.5% on the year. The Dow is actually up a little bit more than that, up 11.7% on the year. But it's not as though it's been rocketing higher. It's been these just tiny, we had a all-time high, I want to say it was sometime this week, where I doubt by 4 points, 5 points on the Dow. So it's not as if we've had these monster jumps. It's not been leaps and bounds. It's just been creeping slowly, ever so slowly, higher and higher. So that's the position that we find ourselves in. But at the same time, it doesn't feel, it may not feel as good as it looks on paper, because the economy itself for most of us doesn't feel like it's the best it's ever been, or the economy itself is necessarily at an all-time high. So it creates this feeling of unsettled. We're a little unsettled and it's in suspect. Wait a minute, I don't know if this adds up. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think the biggest reason is the slower economy that we've been in for a long time relative to what we got used to over the past 50 years, and something to some extent broke after the recession, the Great Recession of 7, 8, 9, and it's never quite been the same. The economy's been slightly hobbled. It's been improving, but the stock market, of course, has been kind of growing at a faster clip than the economy itself. So what's really the solution? So what do you do is if you're nervous and you're a nervous investor, like we just had a call from Mary. She's nervous because, hey, look, she's got money in cash. She had to take these required minimum distributions and she hasn't reinvested it because she's scared of what to do. And it's difficult to be putting money to work when the market is at a high. And the bond market is where it is, where we're getting the 10-year treasury is less than 2.5% a year. It's not as though that it is, the water is ripe to dive in. So you've got to think through a couple of things, and I want to go through that now as the solutions for the Marys of the world who we just got off the phone with that are nervous. And by the way, the phone line's open here this morning in the 10 o'clock hour. If you have financial questions, we're here. We'd love to help you walk through them and give you some advice or just a third opinion to try to get you on the right track. We really feel as though, and one of my favorite parts about Money Matters is that we are one of probably the last radio shows that's live with objective advice on the weekends left in America. And the only way to make that possible is for you to have the trust in us that we are giving you objective advice, and we really want you to be in the right direction. And that's what we've done now for many, many years here. So probably the most helpful part of Money Matters, if you're a listener to the show, you probably like when other people are calling in and have a question. So if you have one, then we're happy to give you some direction here on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to give you the perfect answer. It's not going to be a magic bullet that solves everything, but it could be helpful enough to help set the course on a better trajectory, which is really what planning is all about. There's not a magic bullet, but there are lots of course corrections that get you to a point where you're on a successful path. to making things done or getting things done right in a fundamentally sound way. And that's what we try to make sure that all that blocking and tackling is done here on Sundays to try to guide you to where you need to end up. And that's what we do on Money Matters. So give us a call here in the studio. Phone lines opened up. The number here, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely standing by to take your call and patch that through. It's the fun part of Money Matters. So whether it's something that has to do with a pension or a lump sum or a 401k or an IRA or a stock question, an annuity question. Hey, should I buy this annuity, Wes? I'm being sold this financial product. Would I maybe be better off in something else? Maybe I haven't made the transition to ETFs. What ETFs to choose from? Back in the day, Wes, there were about a dozen ETFs. Now there are thousands of ETFs. There are more indexes today than there are, and this isn't necessarily ETFs, there's a difference. There are more indexes or indices than there are individual companies. Yes, there are more indexes or indices than there are individual companies. Remarkable. That's a remarkable turn of events over the past decade. And we're here to help you sort it out because, quite frankly, it's confusing. So give us a call in the studio. 404-872-0750 is the number. Or if you're listening from afar, Texas, California, Washington, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, the number 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we'll go to... That's 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we'll go to the phone lines in just a minute. But let me get through a couple of these quick solutions here. So number one, we talked about how these dividend increases, you don't notice them. But if you're a dividend investor, and I think about SDY, which is the ETF we've talked about for a decade here on Money Matters, that if you look under the hood on an ETF that owns companies that are able to have steady, stable dividend policies and raise the dividend. None of them are really remarkable. You know, you don't look under the hood and say, wow, they raised their dividend 4 cents this year, now I'm rich. That doesn't work. It's the collectiveness of that works over many years that's very powerful. And that's this concept, yield at cost, that we talked about here on Money Matters last week. This week, I'm looking at some of the actual dividend increases, and you go peer under the hood of an SDY, you're going to see companies like Caterpillar and Consolidated Edison, the utility company, and Chevron, and all of them have been able to just slowly ratchet their dividend payout. They creep higher. So dividend increases are something that you really, in my opinion, as an investor, you want to look for. SDY is an example of an ETF that does that. So you don't notice it, but those dividend, and they're slow. You know, dividend increases are like a turtle crawling through molasses. They just kind of creep slowly forward, even in the best companies, but that's okay. Over time, a lot of distance gets traveled. So the increases are there if you're in the right companies, some more noticeable than others, but none of them are going to be dramatic. Slow and steady wins the race. And that is one of the key components of trying to get you through this period of angst, is to understand that, hey, there's a lot happening underneath the surface. There's a lot going on underneath the surface that you might not matter or you might not even necessarily appreciate. We're going to continue with these reasons. I do want to go to the phone lines, though. Scott joins us from Milton. Hey, Scott, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Good morning. I was just curious for some advice on whether to take an offer for a lump sum payout from a pension plan versus leaving it there for a former employer.
Yeah, Scott, let's hear it. What's going on? First of all, how old are you?
47.
47. So you're well before retirement age. So you're not thinking about super early retirement anytime soon, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just said the same thing. Yeah, I wish. But and then, so tell me the numbers and kind of the main question. Let's get to the root of it.
Well, I have a pension from a former employer that's worth about 75 grand.
Got it.
In a lump sum payment today. They're offering to cash me out. And I'm trying to decide whether to leave it there until I retire, you know, 62, 65, whatever the case.
So today versus 62, 65, what are the parameters if you wait and you start taking the, let's call it, you take it at 62? Have I would think they've probably given you some monthly amounts. What do those look like?
Off the top of my head, the 65-year payout is roughly $1,100 a month for the rest of my life.
$1,100 a month for the rest of your life, and that is... that's starting at age 65 or 62?
65.
Okay, so let's just do some quick math here. And I've got my financial calculator out. And if you start with $75,000 today, right? And let's say you grow this and you've just invested in a relatively conservative fashion. We're not talking about a lot of gain here. Let's call it 5% a year. So 47 to 57 is 10, and then another 5 years. So we're talking about another 8 years. So we're talking about 18 years, right? So I take 18, and let's see what your 75 should be worth in the future. So that 75 today is, that's technically your present value,
correct,
Scott. You that would turn into around 180 grand. If you wait until you are age 65. And that's at a conservative 5% rate of return, okay?
Right.
So then I take my 181, technically, as I do this math, and then I say, well, what is that per year on my 6% pension test? 6% of that is about 11 grand. So it's 10,870 to be exact. Divide that quickly by 12, and you get $950 a month. So that's, and to some extent, that's getting close to 900 to $1,000 a month is what you would have on your own if you invested the money and it grows at a very modest pace, and then you start pulling from that. It's worth it about 900 to a grand a month. And if you look at, guess what? That's a lot what their actuarial calculators are doing as well, because they're going to give you $1,100 a month, except that one is guaranteed. I would tell you that when they're relatively equal like that and you're so young,
right,
at some point you're going to have, you may have some use for that money. The pension is great because it's a guaranteed monthly amount, drip, drip, drip over time. But we haven't even gotten into whether this is a spousal or a life. This is probably your life offer, the highest offer relative to the 100% spousal offer, which is something would reduce it. I think in this case, because that's the life offer for you single, not with your spouse, I would say that you're probably better off just taking the lump sum and doing that as a rollover from the math that I do. So lump sum in this case, rollover, so you don't have to worry about taxes. Then the investment question is a whole other area. But for now, hopefully that gives you some help on a Sunday morning of which option to go through. And thanks for listening to Money Matters, Scott.
Definitely helps. Thank you.
404-872-0750. We're going to run to quick news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Let's go right to the phones here on a Sunday morning. Not a lot of time, but let's answer Alice's question. Alice, what's going on? How can I help?
Well, I'm a little upset about my Philip Morris.
I think a lot of tobaccos are upset about their Philip Morris, their Altria. It's been a disaster period of time for those stocks, even though they've been some of the very, very best performers over the last 20 years in the S&P 500. So you're worried about the drop in your Philip Morris?
Yes, sir. And the international also. I own a sizable shares of 1,400 in international and 1,600 in MO. MO I paid $15.11 for. That was my cost basis, and international was $31.75. Of course, that was after they consolidated and spun off and whatever. I've had it for a number of years.
Wow. So your $15 in Philip Morris or in Altria has gone to $65. And your Philip Morris is, and you paid what for Philip Morris?
$15.11.
Okay. Is it $115 today? So you got a giant gain, and that makes it tough to sell, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And how old are you, Alice?
Well, Oh, I'm 83, and I do have a sizable portfolio, and I do. I've always followed the Wes Moss theory, even though it was probably before you were born. I've been investing for 30 years, and
thank you for saying that I'm 30, which that is a compliment, Alice. I am a little older than 30. but here's what I would say. I'll be on I've owned these tobacco stocks myself as well for a long time, and obviously they've been wonderful.
Yeah.
I think at 83, you're gonna. I don't think in the next decade these things go anywhere. I mean, they're not going out of business, and I think they continue to pay dividends. I will tell you that I really am starting to rethink, though, these tobacco companies, particularly because the next phase in technology is all about vaping, and I think that has not nearly the upside from a business standpoint as the original tobacco business did. I need to do a whole show on big tobacco. So stay tuned for that at some point, Alice. Thank you for your call. Have a wonderful rest of the Sunday. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Number in the studio, 404-872-0750. I need to do weather. My goodness. Weather brought to you by Shoemate, by the way, today, Sunday. High of 88, low 72, mostly to partly cloudy. 40% chance of a thunderstorm afternoon or evening. Check out WSB Radio Weather, my favorite weather site. Easy to use, easy to understand. And Kirk Mellish's blog, which you're going to want to read. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Let's go to, this is just a lot to talk about here. And we're going to go to the phones in just a second, but I wanted to get to, we've talked about this. The theme today has been this underlying angst because the economy or the feeling of the economy doesn't seem to quite add up with where the market is because we keep hitting these all-time highs. So it makes us uncomfortable as Americans. Jobs report, we had a very substantial jobs report, 209,000 new jobs for July. Unemployment rate drops to 4.3%, 16-year low. Great. Stock market, all-time high, but the collective economy doesn't feel as good as the market, and that's giving people pause. So we talked about one of those solutions for investors that feel stuck and feel as though it's nervous to do stocks, nervous to do bonds, nervous to do REITs, nervous to do pipeline companies, even if you're an income investor, is to really understand that underneath the hood, companies, in order to be able to continue to pay dividends, it's a very tall order. A lot of things have to be going right in the business cycle for them to up what they're paying out. Every time a company, and I use the example as Caterpillar, increases a dividend by one penny a quarter, it could be $20, $30 million in incremental dividend that they pay out to shareholders. A lot of things have to be going right for a company to be able to do that. And if you have a collective group of 20, 30, 50 of these companies, then you have the pieces of the economy that are forging ahead at the most substantial sustained rate. And that's an important piece of the equation as an investor. So that's one, is taking a look at the rise, the companies that are actually increasing dividends, because there's a lot to that story. The second part here is a little more of a financial planning way to look at things. And I talked about this just recently in an Atlanta Journal Constitution article that I write. So I write, it's in the front of the living section every Tuesday. We recently wrote about three mistakes that unhappy retirees make. One of them has to do with what we call the rich ratio. Here on WSB, on Money Matters. And I write about this too in the book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, and one of the principles in the book. And the rich ratio is a planning tool. It's really pretty simple. It's the amount of money that you have in relation to the amount of money you need. That's a broad sense of the term. And really, for illustration, you want to look at this with after-tax dollars. So you've got to adjust it for taxes. But it's easy to calculate. You just take the monthly, the amount of monthly income that you're that you highly likely should have. So if you're going to have a pension, you take your monthly income, so Social Security plus a pension plus any other additional steady stream of income. That could be real estate, rental income. And then you have to include what your nest egg should produce. So let's call that 4 or 5% investment income from your nest egg. And then you take that collectively, and then you divide that number by what you expect to spend every month to live in retirement. So effectively, you're just taking your have divided by your need. That's your rich ratio. So this first situation, let's say Susan wants to travel in retirement. She needs $8,000 a month. She has a small pension, $1,000 a month. Social Security at age 66, $2,200 a month. She has $1 million saved, $1 million in her 401k. So the have is $1,000 and $2,200 plus 4.5% of the, let's call it the 401k. So that's another $3,750 a month. That's a total of just shy of $7,000 a month. She has a need of $8,000. The rich ratio is a little less than one, so it's 0.87. You want to have a rich ratio over one for a happy retiree. Susan's is below one, so we can't consider her to be rich. Take a look at Jack. He needs $4,000 a month to retire comfortably, and he's already paid off his house, so he's living mortgage free. So that's why he has such a low need per month. Another item about happy retirees versus unhappy that has to do with mortgage, but that's for another day. Jack has a small pension, $1,300 a month, $1,800 from Social Security every month, and he's got $500,000 in his 401k, half of what Susan had. His have is $1,875. That's four, again using 4.5% a year from his 401k. So he has this monthly amount that's around $5,000 a month. His needs four, so his rich ratio, 5 divided by 4, or 4,750 divided by 4,000, is 1.24. So despite the fact that Jack has less money in retirement or in his account, he is in a better situation than Susan. He actually set up to be a much happier retiree. Pretty simple equation here. I mean, you could get a financial plan that's 100 pages, but really that's all it boils down to. It doesn't need to be 100 pages. 404-872-0750. We're going to the phones here. We're going to start with Sherry in Woodstock. Hey, Sherry, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on?
Hi, Wes. Thanks for talking to me. I'm 60 years old, about to turn 61. And I am wondering if I should start taking my Social Security at 62 and banking it. I don't need the money. It'll be about $300 a month less than if I took it at 65. But I'm thinking, since I don't need the money, I am married, he's working, if that might be the better way to go.
How old is your husband?
He's also 60.
So really, when you're the Social Security age that you are in today, it really goes back to, it's really a longevity question, and I think meaning that the strategies are basically, look, you take it today versus letting it go up by 7.1% a year until you get to 66 or your full, quote, full retirement age, and then it continues on. It goes up even at a faster clip if you wait all the way to 70. And that is a really hard question to answer. But because it's really about longevity, if you were to just to do a Social Security calculator, and I've got one online that we call it the Social Security Optimizer, Ryan Ely and I argue about the name of it. He says it should be the Social Security Maximizer. He's actually right, because I originally thought, oh, it sounds like a cooler name to call it the Optimizer. Really, it's a Maximizer, and it really and the biggest variable inside of that calculation just has to do with whatever age you put. So if you put, I'm going to live till I'm 99, it's going to always tell you whether it's a husband, spouse, whether you're older today and you can still do a more creative solution with Social Security. In your case, you can't get that creative, because it's just, you either take yours or your spouse, or whichever's higher. So that part of it's pretty simple for you. But if you look at a Social Security Maximizer and you say you're going to live to 99, it tells you to delay it as much as you possibly can. So it'll tell you that, hey, Susan or Sherry, don't take this, Sherry, until you're 70. let alone 66. You're saying, Wes, should I take it at 62? And I think that the where I go back to, and because we don't know our longevity, right? You, even if you say, hey, my mom is 102 and she's still living, you still don't know, we still don't know our own longevity. But the couple real simple rules you got to get out of the way first. Are you going to be working, do you think? Or do you work now, first of all?
I don't work now.
No. Okay, so you won't be working at 62, 63, 64, correct?
Right.
So that gets that out of the way, because that's the that's one variable that's really important. If you're working during that period of time, 62 to 6, so that four-year gray zone, and you're making fairly substantial income, let's say above 20 grand or so per year, then very simply, you don't want to take Social Security because it gets penalized and taxed. But that's not the case with you. If you don't plan to work anyway, and you're gonna get $300 less per month, if you really don't need it, I guess my other question has to do with taxes. Will your husband be working during that period of time?
Yes.
And he has fairly substantial income?
He does, and he also has a really good 401k. It's high six figures.
Got it. So my question then would be, and this is, I'm getting to the tax side of this, Sherry. So if you guys are in a really high tax bracket, let's say you're in the 30%+ tax bracket, if you take your Social Security today, it definitely has a big chunk taken out of it. Versus you and your husband both wait until you're, let's say he retires at 64 and you both choose to take Social at that point, then you do get to keep more of it if your tax bracket drops a lot. And that might be the variable you haven't thought about, is that, well, my taxes today might be really high and I get to keep less, so it's less to bank. Versus if I wait a couple more years and my husband and I are both, neither of us are working, our tax rate drops from 30 down to 12, then you actually get to keep more of your Social Security. So I think that's actually one of the biggest variables here too. I think Social Security, if you're above the age of 50 today and you're listening, I really don't think there you get hit from a the government gives us a hit on our Social Security. That's one of the main questions I get. Hey, do you think Social Security, Wes, will be there? Will it be in full form? And I think that for my kids, or even if you're in your 40s, like Lynn and I, you know, and when we're 67, which is our retirement age, according to the IRS, will the full amount be there that's still on my Social Security statement that now, by the way, we get every 5 years? It might not be. It might be a little bit less for me. For you, Sherry, I don't think it's going to be any less. We've got to remember, you're going to have 150 million people in the labor force in the next 20, 30 years, every single week paying into FICA, or every 2 weeks paying into Social Security. So it's not going to go away. And I think that's one of the biggest fears for people. But if you can make retirement work and all it takes is that number at 62, then I would say I'm fine with people taking Social Security at 62. I think it's totally fine. I don't think it dramatically hurts you over time. Yes, a little bit less money, but in your case, if you're technically banking it and you guys are not in a giant tax bracket today, then I think that's fine. Particularly if you're going to have the discipline to actually save it, I like that a lot. However, my favorite age, because you really think about a continuum, is 62, you can take it real early. 66 is, quote, normal or full retirement age. 70, you can wait till, and I know that some people will do 70. My favorite is right smack dab in the middle, that age 66. So if you can wait to 66, and your husband's still working and you have plenty of income until that point, then in my opinion, I'd tell you that your 66 number is a little bit better, because it's a bigger number. Your cost of living adjustments go on a bigger number. And mathematically, if you're living into your 90s, you're better off. So my answer would be 66, but 62, I don't think you materially hurt your retirement plan if you do so. That is Social Security, and that's a great commentary on that from Sherry, and I appreciate her call. Good morning, welcome to Money Matters. We've got a trivia prize pack coming up. Stay tuned, more Money Matters right here, straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner, Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ryan Ealy, do we have a prize pack this weekend?
We absolutely do. The WSB weekend prize pack's a family four-pack of Gwinnett Braves anytime tickets, good for any home game at Cool-Ray Field, and a pair of tickets to see Air Supply in concert on August 11th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation. Caller number 11 is the winner of this beautiful prize pack.
Air Supply. They're still out there doing their thing, huh? Wow. So
smaller venues, I think, than they once played, but they still definitely draw a crowd.
Sell out the, yeah, that's a crowd. I'd say that's a crowd. So I know we talked a lot about, we talked about this divide, or this, maybe it's not a divide. Maybe it's just an uncomfortability that's in the air because of the 39 mile per hour economy. And yet stock markets hit this all time high recently. Stocks at all-time high, something doesn't quite feel right. We talked about the answers to that, and I like that almost like a drum roll. That was good. The answer to that today is really, we've got to understand what's happening underneath the hood. If you own these dividend-paying companies, you don't notice the power that they're creating as they raise just ever so slightly dividends. It's like a turtle crawling through molasses. You don't see a lot of activity, but over time, they make a lot of progress, and that's really what you've got to focus in on, is the time value of that. In addition to that, there are plenty of tools that we talked about on my website, westmoss.com. The Happy Retiree questionnaire, probably the favorite. The retirement calculator, so that you can get really in depth with your budget and the numbers that you can expect long-term in retirement. These are all free tools for you to use at westmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, under the tool section. And if you want to just email me or find me in the Money Matters team throughout the week, contact button, upper right-hand corner. Those messages or emails come straight to me and Ryan Ealy, and we're happy to get back to you within 24, 48 hours. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday. Stay tuned all day long to the best programming on the planet. Right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.